everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. We've been away for a little bit. We've missed you. Have you missed us? I think you have. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
I'm Erin, and we're back.
We are back. Yes. Apologies. We had some family stuff going on. We had some birthdays to celebrate. So a little hiatus there. But thank you all for checking in with us and commenting and just saying hi and making sure we're around. So thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate it. I was just going to say it was Erin's fault, but then.
Yeah, I know.
They say I shouldn't do that. So
that's right. We don't place blame on anybody.
That's right. Whoever they are. But yeah, it's cool.
That's right.
So welcome back in. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's always great to have you here. We appreciate you listening, tuning in. Hit that subscribe button, notification button if you haven't already. That way you'll be notified when our new episodes come out, which are usually on Mondays because we like to record on the weekends because it just works better for us. And also, if you really, really like us, make sure to leave a comment. Tell your friends, family members, coworkers, strangers in the shopping aisles to listen to us. Any publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
For a podcast, right?
Right.
I think that's how it goes. Yeah.
Yep. So,
and if you haven't already, give us a follow on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. Our DMs are open. So if you have any questions, comments, show ideas, anything you'd like for us to cover, make sure you just send us a little message. And I'm usually the one that looks at those. So I will reply back as quick as I can. Of course, we do stay busy during the week with just our shenanigans of everyday life. So, but thank you all so much. We hope you are having fun just as much as we are doing these episodes. So I think, and we're still looking for sponsors. So if you want to sponsor us and you're in a business, let us know.
Yeah.
We're happy to promote. We are very nice and kind and kind of funny sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So enough of that. Erin, how have you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
So I have started, I don't know if you know this or not, but Duncan Hines came out with a Dolly Parton cake line.
Hey, Dolly.
I know.
Love you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So anyway, it is Southern style coconut cake and then Southern style banana pudding cake. So I made the coconut cake and it is amazing.
If you
today,
like coconut.
Mm-hmm. Right. Today I made the banana pudding cake and it is amazing as well. That one is harder to find on the shelves, I think, because it's so popular. But I found it at like Kroger. You can go to Walmart. It's really out in any grocery store, but it is amazing.
Now, so I am not a coconut person.
Okay.
So I would not try that one. No offense.
Well, it's not coconutty, except you put coconut flakes on top.
Oh.
So the cake batter doesn't taste very coconutty or anything.
Oh, okay. So I could probably handle that then.
And it has buttercream frosting with it, and then you put the coconut flakes on top.
Yummy.
So.
Well, that's good. So, yeah. So, check your local grocery stores for that. Tell Dolly we sent you.
Yeah. It has a stick of butter in it. There you go.
Oh, hey. If it's got a stick of butter, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah. It's going to be rich. Yeah. You know, so. But, yeah. So, I have been baking those. I like them. I think they're great.
So, are you making like a whole cake, cupcakes? A whole cake. Okay.
Yeah. It's a two-layer cake.
Oh, okay.
So.
Look at you. Yep. I would just probably go buy it somewhere. You bake, so that's cool.
Yeah, excellent. I've been baking that, doing that. So, yeah.
Very good.
What are you doing?
Anything else?
No, I don't think. I mean, Erin. I've been watching Bridgerton on Netflix.
I know.
I like it.
I'll have to start it.
You haven't seen it. I'm like, you got to watch that. So, I watched it. I'm also watching a show called The Thing About Pam, which has Renee Zellweger. That one's really good.
Is it?
If you have seen that, it's a good true crime show.
Yep, we might be covering that in a future episode, definitely.
Yep. I've been watching that. So, yeah, I've been just watching, catching up on TV and baking and taking care of the yard and all that fun stuff.
All the good things. Well,
yes.
So, for those that do not know, which is probably just about everybody, we actually had our birthday last Tuesday. So, Erin and I are a little bit older since the last time we talked to everybody. We actually got to see each other the weekend before our birthday, so that's always cool because, as we've said in other episodes, we live in different states. So very cool to get to catch up with you and see. Mm-hmm. And we've got a new puppy sister, as we call her. She is a German Shepherd named Zoe. So
yep.
We got to welcome a new sister as well.
She's
precious. She's a puppy. I'm not used to being around puppies. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute.
She's a Sour Patch Kid.
Sour Patch Kid. Okay. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. But she's so cute. And her little ears. I just want to. Oh, I love them.
I know. I love them. Yeah. She's sweet. So
cute. Yes. She's very cute.
First she's sour, then she's sweet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I get it now.
Yeah.
I got you now. That did not make sense. So just then. Mm-hmm. Apologies.
Okay.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had a good time celebrating and get to see some family members that we don't usually get to see. So they know who they are. So hello to them. Also, because I'm huge into sports, it's been March Madness. I've been watching the NCAA tournament, men's and women's. So that's been fun. Made some brackets at work. And placed third. I think, second in the men's, and I'll probably place last in the women's, which really devastates me because I really took time in that bracket to create it.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
Well.
Maybe next year.
Maybe,
right?
Exactly. Maybe next year. That's what the great part of it is maybe next year. So, so we've been getting together show ideas. So, again, if anybody has a show idea that they want to suggest to us, please feel free to do so. We're just kind of doing a catch-up episode. Our episode next week is going to be the one of the Highway of Tears, about the Highway 16 in Canada. And I'm still doing some more research on it and kind of want to look into a few more things before we present that episode. So so today's more just kind of a update on a couple of things and what we're up to. And we just wanted to say hi to everybody because we have missed you. We do like talking with everyone and hoping everyone's had a good month, because I think it's been about a month since we've...
It has. It's believe it or by. Not. It's April, and I'm like, wait a minute. Yep. I think we taped last in February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hope everybody had a good Women's Month of March.
Yes.
Which you can't help but think March Madness and Women's History Month kind of... That on purpose? Yep. That was weird.
Yeah.
Right? I just noticed things. Oh, also, I have started a new Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So I'm now in two campaigns. My weekends are busy. But this one is, it's fun. I'm playing a character who's a bard. And bards are traditionally kind of fun, energetic, little bit flirty characters. And they have usually a musical instrument that they play. Mine is the lyre, which that is how it's pronounced. But it's like a little harp, a little handheld miniature harp. The only reason why I remembered what it was called is because of the Xena warrior princess. So shout out to Lucy Lawless, who shares the same birthday that we do. Just different years. That's all I'm saying. Greatness was born on that day. Happy belated birthday to two of my favorite Canadians, Jan Arden and Celine Dion, who also had birthdays in March.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, ladies. Glad to share a birthday month with you all. Just had to. Aaron's like, oh my gosh, will you stop?
Yeah.
I can't help it. If anybody knows Jan Arden, tell her I said hi, please. She seems really cool. She does. Anyway. So another thing I did last night, where I live, I went out with some friends from work, and we went to a place called Token. And Token was really cool because it has old school, old school. It was what was out when we were growing up. Old school arcade games and pinball machines. So I got to play Guardians of the Galaxy pinball machine, Stranger Things, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I got to play those pinball machines. And then you might remember this one, Aaron, an arcade game called Burger Time.
Oh, yes.
It was the actual, joystick thing. Arcade. So for those that don't know, Burger Time is a game where you play a chef and you are running away from hot dogs, eggs, pickles, and I think that's it. But you have to climb up ladders and walk over the buns and hamburger patties and lettuce, and you have to make a hamburger and not get caught. You have to use pepper. That's how you get them to stop coming after you. So anyway, so that was fun, kind of living back in the arcade games where we would go, you know, to the mall and go have a roll of quarters and go have fun for a while. So.
So it's really cool. The back of the day, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been up to, and then coursework, because that's just what we do. Somebody's got to pay for gas, right? But But so we had a couple of updates that we wanted to share. So Erin, I'll let you go first, and this was the update on Emmett Till, actually.
Yeah.
Have. So what we got?
Okay, so Joe Biden, our president, has signed in a bill making lynching a hate crime.
Mm-hmm. Finally. We're in 2022. Okay, yeah. 2022.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking before we recorded, how many times had that been up and not passed?
Yeah, 200. Over 200 since the 1900s. Yeah. Yeah. So he signs a bill making lynching a federal hate crime into law. So here it is, 2022, mm-hmm. and they're just now making it a hate crime. it's a federal hate crime.
Right.
Yeah.
And that just blows my mind, because are you serious? And since 1900, so you can't blame it on one particular person or president or party or whatever, the United States of America. But 200 times they've decided, we're not going to make that a hate crime. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's shocking.
I don't. And there were some people that actually voted against it.
Yes, there were three that voted against it. I'm sorry, I'm going through my notes here.
No.
There were three House Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Their names are Andrew Clyde of Georgia.
Okay.
Thomas Massey of Kentucky and mm-hmm. Chip Roy of Texas. They voted against the bill.
So Georgia, Kentucky, and Texas. So if that is your particular congressman, mm-hmm. congressperson, and you don't agree, you're ashamed that they voted that, no, this shouldn't go into law, make sure you mm-hmm. go out and vote and get them out of office. Because why would anyone say, oh, wait, no, that shouldn't be a hate crime. That shouldn't be against the law.
Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 200 times. I know I keep saying it. I apologize. But I just could not believe it took that many times to get it to pass.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace. An absolute disgrace.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
But that's awesome. It finally passed, and it's now a law. But, I mean, good grief. We've got to protect everybody, especially Black Lives Matter. You've got mm-hmm. to protect.
Well, and
you
Biden
have to
said,
protect the minorities.
You know, their crimes mm-hmm. were trying to vote, trying to go to school, trying to own their own business or preach the gospel, false accusations of murder, arson, and robbery, simply being Black.
Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest one, just simply being Black.
Yeah.
That was their crime.
Yeah.
And we had, you and I had no more of a say in the color that we were born, which is white,
mm-hmm.
than anybody else has a say in what color they're born.
Right.
They are no less human and no less deserving of protection under the federal law. Everybody should be protected. Mm-hmm. So I feel this is a step closer. It's still not that big of a step, but it's a step, you know, closer to protecting minorities and people who are underrepresented and underprotected.
So
just because they wanted to live and mm-hmm. and, you know, and vote. Oh my God.
And he signed it on our birthday, March 29th.
Well, there you go. That's cool. So we'll remember when that actually came into law. But
yeah, it's called the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now at least Emmett's name will live on in a positive light of such a tragic end that he had that was very undeserving. And, you know, that his mom's fight and perseverance was not in vain. It just took a whole lot longer than it should have to have gotten into law and become active. So that's wonderful. Wonderful news. Mm-hmm. You love to hear it, but there's still so much work to be done. And that we will continue as part of what Aaron and I believe in, to continue to shed light on the injustices, the continued injustices, especially against Black people, Indigenous people, that it's unfair and undeserving that they get such terrible treatment, especially in today's time. We've got to do better as people, as individuals, and as a whole, collectively, of course. So.
Absolutely. Yes.
Very good. So, yeah. So, Georgia, Kentucky, and Texas were where the three congressmen were for that voted against it. So, you know, I don't even want to read why they voted against it.
Right. I know.
You know, and it's like, I always want to try to see both sides of a story, but then I'm like, no, there's no reason to vote against that, to make that into law. You know, there's no reason to. It just, anyhow.
Yeah.
Yep. Moving on, I'll step off that soapbox that I so love to stand on a lot of times. So, another thing I found interesting on our break that we had was Gabby Petito, the case of Gabby Petito. And Gabby Petito's parents recently have filed a lawsuit against Brian Laundrie's parents. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you can go back in the episode that we have on Gabby Petito. I know we even made a point to talk about how could his parents stay silent? How could his parents not say anything? How could they, having a child, not even seemingly care about Gabby Petito's parents and how they felt and what they were going through? So the absurdity of Brian Laundrie's parents continues because their lawyer, who is just a winner of a guy. So I'm looking at is NBCnews.com is where this, this particular article, there's several out there. Go to the article that you want to go to. This is just the one I went to. It says Brian Laundrie's parents say their silence couldn't inflict emotional distress on Gabby Petito's family. So let me just take a second with that sentence. Have you ever needed whatever the situation may be? You're in distress. And I'm like, Aaron, I need you to tell me how can I make this situation better? I know you're holding a secret. You're holding some information that I need that can make me feel better. And I need you to tell me, and you decide, and of course this is just, we're pretending here, and you decide to stay silent.
Right.
Would you not think that would still cause me emotional distress because you're choosing not to give me information that would help me?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So his parents think, wait, I didn't say anything. You can't be mad at me.
That's the problem. You didn't say anything.
Exactly. And you knew what was going on. I do not know the family personally. I don't care to know the family personally. Right. But there is no way they didn't have some idea of what was going on. There is no way. Even if they didn't, when Brian went off and disappeared or whatever, and they probably went through his room, I'm sure they found something and they still kept it to themselves. But how can you say? It's such a teenager response to me. But I didn't lie to you. I just didn't say anything. Oh, my God.
I didn't think it was my place to say anything.
Yeah, that was his thing to handle, not ours. So we just stayed quiet.
Yeah, it was up to him. So if he didn't say anything, oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the Brian Laundrie's parents are claiming that they can't be held civilly liable for silence, in quotations. Brian Laundrie's family asked a court Wednesday to toss out a lawsuit that accuses them of hindering the search for Gabby Petito. Because you did hinder the search.
Right.
He came back without her and you still said nothing. That's all.
And you went camping.
And you went
Yeah, okay.
camping. Yeah. Hey, buddy, you came back without your fiance. Well, that's all right. Let's go out in an isolated area and not talk to people.
Right. Let's go camping.
Yeah, it's fine. People, you know, she just probably forgot to get back in the car, right? I mean, it's just, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Oh, yeah.
So Joseph Petito and Nicole Schmidt sued this month in Sarasota County, Florida, where Christopher and Roberta Laundrie, the parents of the presumed killer, live. The Laundries shouldn't be made to pay because they shunned publicity or communication with the plaintiffs, defense lawyer Matthew Luca wrote. Sorry. And then it says, as a matter of law, the laundry silence could not form the basis of a claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress, he said. But they were intentionally silent, so that is
Right.
intentionally inflicting distress.
Right.
I don't get, it's like you're standing there with the medicine to give to somebody, and you're like, I
Yeah.
don't know that the medicine's really going to help, so I'm just not going to give it to them.
Right.
Oh my gosh, you know,
Yeah.
you aided in the
Right.
ongoing sickness.
Yeah.
And the lawyer goes on to say, if the laundry's act of doing nothing other than maintaining their privacy and silence is enough to subject them to this supposed cause of action, then there would be virtually no limitations on the tort of intentional infliction of emotional distress, and the fundamental right to remain silent under any circumstances would be obliterated. Joseph Petito and Nicole Schmidt said last month that the defendants knew of the mental suffering and anguish they were experiencing while their daughter was missing, but refused to disclose information about her whereabouts. And in doing so, they acted with malice or great indifference, according to the lawsuit. While the defense said it's sympathetic to the emotional pain Petito's loved ones must still be suffering, Laundrie's parents said they can't be held responsible for it. And it goes on, you know, to say a couple more things, kind of just reiterating. But
Wow.
you, Lord have mercy. You know,
Yeah.
they had information. If you don't want to talk to her parents, to Gabby Petito's parents directly, fine. But they didn't even go to police. They didn't even get a lawyer until Brian allegedly just went out to go to the park and never came back home, even though they went and
Right.
picked his car up.
Right,
They
exactly.
did nothing. They sat there knowing stuff, and they said nothing. So yeah, that's not an invasion of your privacy or wanting to stay private is not giving interviews, is not answering the door, not answering your phone, but to willingly withhold information and not tell anybody, the lawyer, the police, that is where the infliction comes from. You had
Right.
information, you said nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
That is where it is, not, you know, well, they didn't do an interview with Dateline or 60 Minutes or whoever, you
Right.
know.
Right,
You know,
yeah.
they, oh, because they stayed silent and didn't talk to the media. That's not what we're talking about. Y'all knew stuff and still said nothing. You cannot do that. That's withholding. That's impeding an investigation. It's
Right.
criminal.
It's mind blowing how people don't want to get involved. And I understand that's your child, but there comes a point when you can't protect your children anymore. They are adults and they make
Right.
choices and decisions, and there's consequences to that. And these
Exactly.
parents that keep jumping in front and not holding their children accountable for things, it's got to stop.
Yeah.
You know, you're not helping the matter
Right.
by not saying anything.
Well, and right, and that's the thing, because who were they helping by not saying anything?
Right.
I guess they figured they were helping their what he was what, 24?
Something like that, yeah.
So old enough that he shouldn't need his parents' protection, that they should have been like, you knew what you did, you knew what you were doing, you're gonna have to go to police. If you don't, we will, because we know
Right.
something's up. But they didn't.
Right, yeah.
They never
No.
helped. They never helped with the
No.
investigation until he allegedly disappeared.
Right.
Even though they knew where he went, they went and picked up his car. I mean, go back and listen to that episode, because I mean, it's just like, are you serious on so many cases and twists and turns of it? But but so that's where they're at now. So his parents still not going to get nominated for Parents of the Year for sure. I mean, I just, you just can't help but think. And this is where I appreciate our parents. Because if we did something wrong, they'd be like, no, you're going to tell the truth. And you're going to make
face
this
the
right
consequences.
And face the consequences. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, my favorite word is accountability. And, you know, as much as it stinks sometimes, and I couldn't even imagine, and I'm not even trying to compare that level Brian Landry and all that, Laundry and all that. But you've got to. You can't, like you said, you can't keep jumping in front of kids. And protecting them. You can't. You just. I guess I get what they were trying to do, but no. Not in this situation. It's not like he stole a pack of cigarettes or something and he was trying not to get in trouble that way. I mean, he murdered a girl. He murdered somebody. He did. And came home, and they were like, all right, cool, we'll go camp. Anyway, so that's our couple of updates that we had that kind of, that definitely caught our eye while we've been on on a little bit of an unplanned hiatus. But again, everything's fine. Everything's back on order. Everybody's well. Nothing like that. We just, life, it's fine. Exactly. So with that little update, we will get ready to sign off here. So next week, Highway of Tears. Again, this is what is being talked about, has been talked about from the Highway 16 up in Canada, because Canada's got a special place in my heart. And this, and especially this particular case, it's very... very sad, a lot of parts to it, and that's why I want to take a little extra time with it before we present it. So that's what we're doing. So until then, again, make sure you like, subscribe, get notified when our new episodes come out. Tell everybody that you can. Thank you all so much for our returning listeners, for our new listeners. I hope this gives a little insight to who Aaron and I are and what we do. Make sure to go back and listen to previous episodes of cases we've covered. Again, Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open. Let us know if there's anything you'd like to hear from us or if you just have a random question. I'm the cat lady. Aaron's the dog lady.
That's right. Yeah.
That's just how it works. We are fraternal twins. So as people have pointed out to us all of our lives, but you all don't look alike.
I know, right? Yeah.
We know. It. It's fine. We know. It's cool.
Right.
So excellent. So everybody, we hope you have a fantastic week. We will see you, hear you, talk at you this time next week. And until then, stay safe, take care, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Until next time, bye, Aaron.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.